भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् फिफ्थ कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 23। इति हवावस जगति पतिर ईश्वरेच्छयादिनिवेशित कर्माधिकारो अखिल जगद्बंध ध्वंसन परानुभावस्य भगवत आदि पुरुषस्य युगल युगला युगलानवर्त वरत ध्यानानुभावेन परिरंधित कषायाशयो अवदातोपि मानवर्धनो महता महीतलं अनुशासास। वी विल टेक द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। इति दस हवाव इंडीड सह ही जगति पति ही टेम्परर ऑफ द होल यूनिवर्स ईश्वर इच्छया बाय द ऑर्डर ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड अधिनिवेशित कंप्लीटली एंगेज्ड कर्म अधिकार इन मेटीरियल अफेयर्स अखिल जगत ऑफ द एंटायर यूनिवर्स बंध बॉन्डेज ध्वंसन डिस्ट्रॉइंग पर ट्रांसेंडेंटल अनुभावस्य हूज इन्फ्लुएंस भगवतः ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड आदि पुरुषस्य द ओरिजिनल पर्सन अंघ्री ऑन द लोटस फीट युगल टू अनवरत कॉन्स्टेंट ध्यान अनुभावेन बाय मेडिटेशन परिरंधित डिस्ट्रॉयड कषाय ऑल द डर्टी थिंग्स आशय इन हिज हार्ट अवदातः कंप्लीटली प्योर अपि अल्दो मानवर्धनः जस्ट टू गिव ऑनर महताम टू सुपीरियर्स महीतलम द मेटीरियल वर्ल्ड अनुशासास रूल्ड ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस यसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrat fully engaged in worldly affairs. Yet he always thought of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are the cause of liberation from all material attachment. Although Priyavrat Maharaj was completely freed from all material contamination, he ruled the material world just to honor the order of his superiors. The words mana vardhano mahatam, just to show honor to superiors, are very significant. Although Maharaj Priyavrat was already a liberated person and had no attraction for material things, he engaged himself fully in governmental affairs just to show respect to Lord Brahma. Arjuna had also acted in the same way. Arjuna had no desire to participate in political affairs or the fighting at Kurukshetra. But when ordered to do so by the Supreme Lord Krishna, he executed those duties very nicely. One who always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord is certainly above all the contamination of the material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo matah. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Maharaj Priyavrata was a liberated person and was among the highest of the yogis. Yet superficially, he became the emperor of the universe in accordance with the order of Lord Brahma. Showing respect to his superior in this way was another of his extraordinary qualifications. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17-28, Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati svargapavarganarakeshvapitulyarthadarshinaha. A devotee who is actually advanced is not afraid of anything, provided he has the opportunity to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The explanation of why Priyavrat engaged in worldly affairs, although he was a liberated person. Also, only because of this principle does a Mahabhagavata, who has nothing to do with the material world, come down to the second platform of devotional service to preach the glories of the Lord all over the world. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhut Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshashunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I am just going through Vrindavan Dham for a day. It's a great blessed fortune for me to be in the midst of so many devotees here at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar. At the same time, I feel very utterly unqualified to address such a great assembly of Vaishnavas in this holy place of Vrindavan. I pray to the Lord and the devotees to empower my words in such a way that it will purify my heart and I will be able to say something that will benefit everyone. We are in the activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. Srimad Bhagavatam brings out very valuable lessons for our everyday life, practical life, by revealing the behavior of great devotees who have lived in the past, how they acted in different situations, especially difficult situations. Sometimes there are situations called as dharma sankat. Dharma sankat means there is a question of which is higher dharma, which is lower dharma. There is a competition between right and more right. Of course, the difference between right and wrong is very easy to know. But when it comes to difference between right and more right, there is a challenge. And Srimad Bhagavatam has innumerable examples for such a situation. In the case of Maharaj Priyavrat, he was preached by Narada Muni to adopt the Nivritti Marg, leaving aside his kingly opulences. He had gone to the Mandara Parvat to perform his spiritual practices peacefully, free from all the worldly encumbrances. And he was actually delighting in spiritual life. He was absorbed in it fully, very satisfied. He was not looking outwardly for any enjoyment. At that time, the emperor of the universe, Swayambhava Manu, he had to come to Priyavrat to beg him to return to take up the kingdom. Why? Period of Uttanapada was over, Dhruva was over. Now there is no one to rule the kingdom. He is coming to his second son Priyavrat now, seeking his help so that he can retire. He did not take up the throne himself again, saying that there is nobody available, let me take up now. Swayambhava Manu didn't take up. Rather, he is looking forward to his son Priyavrat to take up the position so he can take up Vanaprastha and go to the jungle. But Priyavrat politely refused him. He said, I am not interested. It's very rare also, because people in this world hanker for pleasure. The senses always chase after pleasures. The mind always is mad for money and greed. And the false ego is always crazy for prestige and status. So people chase after pleasure and prestige in this world. And if such an opportunity is offered to anyone, who will not grab it at the instant? Very same instant. But Priyavrat was a very noble soul, exalted personality. He wasn't very enthusiastic to accept the position that brought innumerable privileges for his enjoyment. He rejected it. Just like we hear about Bharat Maharaj. Yo dustyajan darasutan suhridrajyam hridisprishah jahau yuvaiva malavat uttamashloka lalasah. It is said, yo dustyajan. Tyaja means to give up. Dustyajan means very difficult to give up things. Like suhrit. If one is surrounded by well-wishers who are very loving, and rajyam, a kingdom, who are all submissive, obedient, polite, well-behaved at the beck and call. And hridisprishaha means that which really touches the core of our heart. And all other comforts, facilities, luxuries, treasury, elephants and horses and chariots and army, and everything going on very nicely. Why would one want to give up such a thing at the prime of youth and go to the jungle? The reason is given. Jahau yuvaiva malavat. Just like one would pass stool and not even look at it, but turn away from it. Like that, Bharat Maharaj gave it all up. Because uttama shloka lalasaha. He developed a greed for attaining Krishna's lotus feet. In the same manner, Prevrat Maharaj was convinced by Narada's preaching that there is nothing worthy in this world to seek after or run after other than Krishna's lotus feet. The real nectar is there. In Srimad Bhagavatam, elsewhere, there is an example of how a honey bee was going from one flower to another flower taking some honey. So one name of honey bee is Saram Ga. Ga means one which moves. Saram means one which takes the essence. The essence of a flower is honey. So Saram Ga. So Saranga was moving flower to flower. But at one point of time, the Saranga, the honey bee, came to a Parijata flower. But when it sat in the Parijata flower, the honey was so much. The more he drank, the more it was coming out. There was no end only. So the honeybee was stunned. He thought, why should I leave this flower and go to any other flower? Let me just put a tent here only, forever. Then he never went back. Then he stayed in that flower forever. And what is that flower? Parijata flower with honey, continuously flowing honey, amritam. That is Krishna's lotus feet. So that is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a song in South India. I used to hear a song. This song says, go on search in this world. Where is happiness? Is happiness in enjoying with the opposite sex? Is happiness in accumulating gold? Is happiness in accumulating prestige and status in society? Is happiness in roaming around the world, seeing new places, seeing new things, getting new experiences? Where is happiness? Find out. So the man says, he goes on saying different things. I tried this, I tried that, I tried this. At last he says, nothing of this world could satisfy. Only the Hari Bhaktas who are delighting in singing and dancing and chanting with no desires, they are the only ones who are the most happiest I found. So I went in their shelter, he says. That is the last conclusion. So that is the same reason why Priyavrat Maharaj renounced the world, to stay under the shelter of Narada Muni, to lead a very peaceful life here and forever. Because there is no safe, secure, safe, very happy place for the living entity other than Krishna's lotus feet. One disciple asked Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was speaking about this famous verse, Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punyayasho murare bhavambudirvatsa padam param padam 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 yat vipadam natesham. Prabhupada quoted this verse and he said, Samashritaye padapallava plavam. One who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he is always happy and peaceful. So the devotee asked Prabhupada, I have heard this word shelter, shelter so many times. What is the meaning of feeling sheltered, Prabhupada? So Prabhupada, he said, imagine on a cold and very rainy day in a village where the road is also a muddy road. There are puddles of water here and there. Would anybody want to walk on a rainy day? But imagine if there is a silver coach drawn by big horses, and the coach is nicely covered with windows, curtains and everything very nicely. And you are allowed to board the coach, sit inside, and as the coach moves, it has to cross over a small puddle of water that's made by a calf, footprint of a calf. How much difficult will it be for that coach to do? So the disciple said, oh, not a great deal, over it. And Prabhupada said, that is how a devotee can cross over this material existence. When he comes to the shelter of Krishna, he said, this is Krishna's shelter, he said. You are very safe and secure and you feel protected. And also you very easily cross over samsara, remaining in absorption of Krishna. Like that he said. So for a thirsty man, water or juice is shelter. For a hungry man, food is a shelter. For a man walking on a tar road on a hot sunny day where his footprints are coming on the ground, he will run to the shelter of a tree. Similarly, for a penniless beggar, somebody giving him a charity is shelter. Similarly, for the soul in this world, which is tormented by the threefold miseries and fourfold problems and six whips and all this, one may go for moksha, but the moksha is also not a permanent shelter. The real shelter is Krishna's lotus feet. Jaya Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki, Shri Gaunita ki. But when one is situated in Krishna's lotus feet, rendering service to him, one is very happy and satisfied. No plans to return back to samsara, return back to the material world again, to take up the kingly affairs. He was convinced that the worldly affairs are entangling, the worldly activities of, you know, going for marriage, children, kingdom, treasury, management affairs. So these things may bind me to the material world again. So he had no plans to return. But here comes Swayambhu Manu requesting him. There is nobody else to take up the position, my dear son. Now you yourself, you are the only one qualified for it. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned the importance of a king, the need of a king in a society. That was explained by Samikrishi, his son Sringi. Samikrishi said, my dear foolish child, we have cursed the king of the whole world, who is also a pure devotee of the Lord, Parikshit. You see, when a king is no more, then all the thieves and rogues, they exploit the society. Just like when a tiger is let loose in a big herd of sheep, and then the tiger may pounce upon them and tear them to pieces when there is no shepherd. When there's a shepherd, he can keep the tiger away. Similarly, a king is supposed to protect the citizens like a mother and father. Like a mother, he has to look for the needs of the citizens, like the food, clothing, shelter, and also protecting the women, protecting the children, the brahmanas, the cows and the old people. So it's a duty of a king. And like a father, he has to provide for the society everything that the people need. Situating them in varnashrama, he has to engage them in their appropriate activities. In this way, the absence of a king would society to ruination. People would become irreligious, they would not study shastras, and there will be no proper religious principles. The thieves and rogues would come to power, and there will be anarchy. There will be no law or justice. In this way, the society can become degraded. So, to represent the Supreme Lord to the common masses who are gullible and who always tend to go in wrong direction, for them a king is required. You see, in a family, we say Matru Dev, we say. Why the word Dev is used? Because the mother represents God for the child in the very beginning when the child is born. Then we say Pitru Dev. And the mother shows hand to the father of the child. So he is also Dev because he represents the Supreme Lord. Then the Raja is also called Naradev. He is the leader of the public, but he also is supposed to represent the Supreme Lord. So ultimately, Dev is only one, which is Krishna. Krishnam Mande Jagad Gurum. But that Krishna is not easily accessible to everybody. So he's accessible to the mother, through the father, through the Guru Dev. Then similarly, through the Naradev, king also. In this way, whatever Krishna is doing for the living beings, that should be reached to the living beings through the king. That's why the king is required. So, in this way, Swayambhu Manu is trying to impress upon Priyavrat, but Priyavrat is afraid to take up the responsibility of the kingship of the whole world. He is rejecting it. And he is also right in one point of view, because he doesn't want to get entangled. He wants to remain pure in his practices and go back to Godhead. But then Swayambhu Manu is worried now. So he is going to Brahma and bringing Brahma himself. If Brahma himself is coming in his swan carrier along with all his other associates, it's a very serious affair. So Brahma is coming, and in the future verses you will find how, I mean, in the verses where Brahma spoke, after which Priyavrat took up the kingship, Brahma convinced him. So Brahma, Swayambhu Manu, Narada, all the three are Mahajanas, you see. So there is a tug of war going on between two Mahajans on one side and one Mahajan on the other side. So Narada has preached to him and awakened Vairagya in his heart. So that's the reason Priyavrat wants to be renounced. But Swayambhu Manu and Brahma are on the other side, asking him to take up the leadership of the whole world. So in the previous purport, last para, Prabhupada says, the word Surarishivara Anumatena is used. Surarishivara is Narada Muni. Anumatena means Narada also gave him permission to accept the government. That's very important. Narada wanted Priyavrat to become free from all material affairs. When Priyavrat took charge of the universe by the request of Lord Brahma and Manu, Narada was also very pleased. So this is very amazing. Why? When there is a difference in opinion in this world between any two people, or even sometimes between two devotees, sometimes there is a tug of war. One has one opinion, another devotee has another opinion. So in such a situation, if both the devotees have respect for each other and they have love for each other and they also honor each other, then in such a situation, then one of them is willing to bend. And then there is an agreement. You will see that. They will remain. So the unity is at a higher level. It goes from one level to a higher level when devotees have respect, love and trust for each other. The devotees stick to their own viewpoint and they refuse to give way. Then there may be a building of animosity sometimes. There may be some ego tussle. There may be a competition. And the competition may lead to envy and malice in the heart. And we don't find that in Bhagavatam. There are many examples of such tussles which come, apparent tussles we can say, because the end result has become glorious. Here Narada on one side, Swayambhu Manu and Brahma on the other side. But because Narada has respect for Swayambhu Manu, Swayambhu Manu has respect for Narada also. And both of them have a great respect for Brahma, who is much more senior. And all three of them are aligned with one supreme person, Ishwarichaya, it is said. The word is used here. Ishwarichaya Adhiniveshita. Whatever is Lord's will, there is no question of anybody not aligning with Lord's will. That is ultimate. So all three Mahajanas, they are living only for pleasing the Supreme Lord. So because of such a nice alignment, the problem is very easily solved, without difficulty. Like we find during the Ashwatthama's justice, whether Ashwatthama should be killed or Ashwatthama should be relieved. When the question came, at that time Bhima and Krishna were on one side, and Draupadi and Yudhishthir Maharaj, they were on the other side. And there was a tug of war also. And Krishna told Arjuna, should you kill him or should you not kill him? You have to think very carefully, because there is a divided opinion. Now Bhima had a great respect for Draupadi. Draupadi also had a great respect for Bhima. Bhima didn't say, "You, Draupadi, get lost. You are not expected to give your opinion here." Huh? He didn't say like that. Nor did Draupadi say, "You, reckless, barbaric, passionate Kshatriya Bhima, get lost. Don't show your animalistic nature on Ashwatthama. Free him." So you don't find both of them having a tussle. There is a mutual respect between the two. And all the Pandavas and Draupadi, they have great respect for Krishna. And Krishna also has respect for their opinion also. Although Krishna is Supreme Lord, Krishna doesn't immediately order, "I am the Supreme Lord, all of you keep quiet, just hear me." He doesn't say that. He is also saying, "Let us hear their opinion. What is Draupadi's opinion? What is Bhima's opinion? What is Yudhishthira's opinion?" He is patiently listening to everybody. And after listening to all of them, still Krishna doesn't give his own opinion. He is telling Arjuna, "You decide very carefully." So it's a very amazing situation. Because there is a mutual respect, love and trust between all these different personalities. And ultimately they all are ready. Whatever Krishna says, they will accept. They will never go against it. Because of that, you find very smoothly the decision could be made. The beauty is, the end result came out very well. When Ashwatthama's jewel was removed, he was actually driven away. Draupadi was happy, Yudhishthira was happy, Bhima was also happy. So everybody became happy. Similarly, it is said, Narada was pleased also. Sura Rishi Vara Anumatena. Narada understood, there is a higher call. Yes, to renounce the world and go to Krishna is very wonderful, but sometimes one has to take responsibility for Krishna's sake. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Karmanai bahi samsiddhim astito janakadayah lokasangraham evapi sampashyan kartumarhasi." Arjuna, by giving an example, Arjuna, you want to go to jungle, but let me tell you, there was a great king called Janaka, whose name was Janaka Videha. The word Videha has a double meaning. One meaning of the word Videha is, he was the Videha Raja. And another meaning of Videha means, although he had a body, he was living life as if he had no material body, which means he was a liberated soul. He was a Jivan Mukta, pure soul. So then why was he living in the midst of society? Why was he acting, moving about, wearing the crown of a king, wearing the garment of a king, going to the Sabha, managing ministerial affairs? Why was he doing all that as a king? That was all simply out of a sense of duty. Just to set an example for the people in general. Janaka Maharaj's example is given there. Like he was living like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. On a lotus leaf, there is a wax. So if you put a drop of water, it will appear like a pearl. At any time, it can just fall off. So it doesn't touch it. Similarly, one has to live in this world in such a way that one doesn't get stuck. One shouldn't get entangled in the affairs of the material world. That is, like Prabhupada used to give the example of how the art of catching fish without getting wet. That means doing the activities in this world without getting entangled. And Janaka Maharaj was a very ideal example for that. He was getting all the things done from people. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami also, don't become a monkey vairagi, markata vairagi. Go home, you are coming from a multi-millionaire family. Live with your mother and father and wife and family. And do the business also. Manage your business externally. Meditate on Krishna internally. Let your renunciation be internal. And externally you can look like a pounds and shillings man, counting money and doing business. You look like a businessman externally, but your heart is filled with remembrance of Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami accepted that order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and executed it for a period of time. Similarly, Priyavrat is told, we know that you are very renounced, your heart is attached to Krishna, that's wonderful, but for a higher purpose, you come back and take up the kingdom of the world, so the people can benefit by your rule. It is always wonderful for the people to have a Rajarishi at the top. One who is detached from his post and position and the honor and prestige and the respect and the privileges that come with them. Such a person is what actually is called Naradev. A Naradev is not one who is, power greedy or, power hungry leader who is eager for controlling the people and exploiting the people, dominating the people and looting the pockets of the public. He cannot become a Naradev. A Naradev is actually a representative of the Supreme Lord. Just as the Supreme Lord is very detached and pure, similarly, Naradev also is supposed to represent the Supreme Lord. So, such were the kings who ruled the world in those days. If they were told to wear the crown and sit on the throne, they would sit. And the next moment, if they have to renounce the position, they wouldn't need any long notice. Immediately they would renounce the position. A practical proof is Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he was the king of the world, the moment he heard Krishna has ascended to his own abode, he immediately took the crown and kept it down. Of saffron, took a stick in his hand, didn't even speak to Draupadi or Kunti or anybody. He knew that if I speak some words, they will cry, they will tell me to stay back. So he proceeded towards the north immediately and followed, and he was followed by his brothers and everybody else over a period of time. So in this way, the Pandavas were also such kings, unattached to the worldly things. And they did it only for the pleasure of Krishna. That is actually the secret. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are definitions of who is not a Pandita and who is a Pandita. One is Pandita Samadarshinaha, we know. There is another definition of a Pandita also. Yascha sarve samarambha kalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagda karmanam tamahuhu panditaha, he says. There he says, yascha sarve samarambha. If a person is doing activities and offering the fruits to Guru, and he doesn't take anything for himself, he is actually a Pandita, he says. And for such a person, all the karmic reactions are burnt away, he says. So, Priyavrat was also expected to take the rule. The highlight of this purport here is this. Just to show honor to the superiors, mana vardhano mahatam, he accepted. Which goes to show how much one should take the instructions of the superiors very seriously. Like you all know, once when in the Nagalaya, all the snakes were very much disturbed by Garuda's sudden intervention. Garuda would sometimes come flying and pick up a snake, and many other snakes would get trampled on the stampede, and they would die also. So then they all went and complained to Vasuki. Vasuki was the leader. So they didn't have anything to fight with Garuda directly. So they went to Vasuki. And then Vasuki had all of them. Then he went to Brahma. And Brahma made an arrangement that on a full moon day, once a month, you keep some food arrangement for Garuda. And he will come and eat and go away, and he won't disturb all of you. When Brahma made that policy, Garuda also accepted. But once it so happened that Kaliya saw, why should Garuda be so much respected by our snake community? I will go and usurp all the food. So he would take away what was kept under the tree. And Garuda saw that repeatedly what was kept for him was missing. Then one day he found out Kaliya is the fellow who is doing it. Of course, Garuda is also a great devotee of the Lord. A great devotee, he is not envious of anybody. He is Advaishta, Bhutana, Maitra Karuna Yevacha. He is friendly with all. But seeing that Kaliya is confronting him, antagonizing him directly, and taking away his food, so Garuda wanted to teach him a lesson. And there was a fight between Garuda and Kaliya. Kaliya was very envious of Garuda. So he was staring at him with his poisonous eyes and throwing poison at him, while Garuda bit him with his golden wings forcefully. And Kaliya was defeated. And Kaliya wanted to escape for his life, and he came here to Yamuna in Vrindavan and took shelter of Yamuna, knowing well that Garuda won't come there. So in this pastime you find Garuda was agreeable to Vasuki's plan, and Garuda was agreeable to Brahma's plan, and Garuda was even agreeable to Saubari Muni's plan, who was just a mystic yogi, who was not even a great devotee. Saubari had made a policy that Garuda cannot come to Yamuna, and Garuda being the bird carrier of the Supreme Lord, he is not bound by the laws made by ordinary mystic yogi. But still he respected even a mystic yogi, which goes to show a devotee of the Lord, everybody. So he told Saubari Muni, okay, I won't come there also. So in this way, Garuda is respectful to all these three. On the other hand, Kaliya neither respected Vasuki's arrangement, neither respected Garuda, nor did he pay heed to even Brahma's arrangement, which was made. Just see? So exactly the opposite you find in Kaliya. At last you find Kaliya was driven out of Yamuna, back. So which goes to show, these are two natures we can see. Our mind, our senses and false ego, they always take us towards lower nature. As I was telling in the beginning, the mind pleasures of the world and the false ego is chasing after prestige. So because of the nature, so there is a tug of war between vice and virtue, tug of war between humility and pride, tug of war between selfishness and selfless service. This tug of war is going on in the heart of every conditioned souls, every living entity. So Garuda's nature is higher nature, and Kaliya's nature is lower nature. So our lower nature always tells us, I want to be independent. I want to be a self-made master. Nowadays the word self-made is very common. Self-styled, self-made. I am independent. I don't hear anyone. Nobody can control me. I control everyone. So this kind of attitude is very detrimental to progress in spiritual life. On the other hand, accepting the words of the superior just to show honor to superiors, here he says. So, mana vardhano mahatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this point is emphasized in many places. Kardama Muni was glorified by Brahma for his obedience. Kardama had no plans of becoming a prajapati and expanding population. He was very, very satisfied in his parents' in the jungle. In fact, it is said, although he was living in the jungle for a long time and meditating on the Supreme Lord, he did not become emaciated. He did not become skinny and bony like Saubari Muni. Why? Because Lord's sidelong glance, loving glance fell upon him. So he was hale and healthy. Kardama Muni. In fact, Lord was so pleased with his penances that there were tears in Lord's eyes which formed the Bindu Sarovar. In this way, he was controlled in his senses, fixed in his intelligence, satisfied in his situation as a devotee. But he knew that it is Brahma's desire that I have to become a prajapati and beget children. So he put one condition to Devahuti's father, Swayambhu Manu. He said that I will give her a son, then I will take sannyas and I will go to jungle again. And for that, Brahma was very pleased by the obedience of Kardama Muni. There is one verse which says, yes sir, badam. So he told, Brahmaji is telling, when the superior is giving an instruction to say yes sir and execute it without reservation, without duplicity, with full obedience, with full respect, with full attention, and executing the instruction in totality, all these points are mentioned there. And anyone who does that, he only can become the master for somebody and instruct. Of course, he doesn't become master. He's always servant only. But he qualifies himself to instruct somebody else. Otherwise, one cannot instruct others unless one has oneself obeyed somebody properly in one's life. There is another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Uttamas chintitam kuryat proktakari cha madhyamaha adamo ashraddhayakat akuryat uccharitam pituhu. The first class servant is one who understands the heart of the master and executes the instruction. Second class servant is one who, upon told by the master, immediately executes the instruction. Third class servant is one who half-heartedly executes the instruction. And the fourth class is not counted at all because he is considered to be the stool of his father, it says. So, Prabhupada said we should at least be second class servants, at least. As soon as we are given instruction, we should do it. So, like you tell somebody, there is a program in the evening at 7 o'clock, please keep the ready. And that is enough for a person. The one word, make it ready, means it's understood what is to be done. But for somebody who is a second class, you have to tell him, what is the meaning of ready, if he asks. Then you say, first you sweep the floor. Okay, sir, I have swept the floor. What next? You punch the floor with water also. Okay, I have done it. Should I put the chatai now? No, put on the fan. Dry it first. Okay, dried it. No. Okay, then you tell him, put the chatai. That's all over. It will be nice if you arrange the mic also. It will be nice if you arrange the table also. Keep the kartal also. Keep the book also. Everything you have to tell him. But whatever you say, he will do. At least that much he will do. And the third fellow, who is it? Ashraddhaya Kuryat. If you tell him to make it ready at 7 o'clock, till 6:45 it won't be ready. 6:45, he will, if you force him too much, if you chase behind him, he may go and sweep it very fastly and keep all the dust and dirt in one corner. When the class starts, it will fly and make everybody cough. He will do a half-hearted job, he will do, you see. And the fourth fellow will abscond. You won't find him only. Many times you may feel, instead of searching for him, better I only do it. So, in this way, in Bhagavatam it is said, imagine if everybody in our society is completely obedient to their superior, the management will tend towards zero. There will be no management. Prabhupada said, the management should be preaching-related management. How to do harinams in different places, how to distribute books, how to distribute prasadam, how to start new centers, how to create more facilities for devotees to stay and practice Krishna consciousness, how to build more temples. We should be preaching-related management, not quarrel-solving management or firefighting management, or somebody is doing half-hearted job and creates a damage, settling the damage meetings. So, in this way, mana vardhano mahatam, showing honor to the superiors. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj followed the order of Brahma, and Lord Vishnu became very pleased also. He cooperated with Indra, who was mischievous. So, many, many examples could be quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam for such obedience. Now, somebody may say, is Brahma unnecessarily not entangling Priyavrat by pulling him into worldly affairs? Poor fellow, he was willing to renounce everything and go. And that is also explained in the purport later, that Priyavrat Maharaj was so absorbed in Krishna that he always remained a liberated person, even in his so-called worldly life. That's why Prabhupada is saying here, Narayana para sarve na kutaschana vibhyati svargapavargana rakeshvapitulyartha darshinaha. He was so absorbed in Krishna always. That's the secret of living in this world, like a drop of water and a lotus leaf. You know, in South India, there were three great dynasties, Chera, Chola and Pandya. So the Pandyas having Madurai as the capital, and the Cholas, they had this Kanchipuram as the capital. And the Cheras, they had the Trivandrum. So in the Chera dynasty there was a great king called Kulashekara. So in Tiruvananthapuram there is Ananta Padmanabha, very famous Lord Vishnu lying in the Ananta Shesha. So he's very greatly worshipped, very wonderfully worshipped. Very famous temple there, Ananta Padmanabha temple. So this Kulashekara was a very great devotee of Lord Ananta Padmanabha. And he developed a great detachment from his kingship, and he wanted to go to Srirangam and dedicate his life. But his kingly duties were pulling him, so he used to rule the kingdom. But every day he would hear katha of Lord Ramachandra from Valmiki Ramayana. Some Vaishnavas would come and read, Sri Vaishnavas would come and recite for him. So he was actually floating in bliss, hearing the katha. And how he heard the katha is explained in such absorption. Like once when the kathakar was explaining that Lord Rama was in jungle somewhere in Panchavati. At that time Shurpanaka came. And then Shurpanaka's nose was cut by Lakshman. After that she went and told Karan Dushan, her brothers, look at your sister, my nose is cut, I have lost all my beauty. This was done by this Ram Lakshman. How can you tolerate them? So immediately they came and attacked 14,000 soldiers. So when Kulashekara heard it, he immediately called up the whole army to go towards Nasik. Everybody can imagine South India, where is Trivandrum, where is Nasik? He proceeded, and the ministers, none of them knew what to do. At last they arranged for one from Nasik to come and tell the king somewhere midway that the war is over. And Sita Ram, everybody is safe. So he heard with such absorption. So those who are accepting managerial administrative positions, even in a Viscon society, the only shelter for them is Krishna Katha, Krishna Upadesh in the Sangha of devotees. Regularly, on a regular basis, by absorbing themselves only, they can save themselves from the poisonous mentalities that can arise in managerial administration. Because there is so much of fault finding involved in it, problem sorting, and quarrel settling, money is involved, women are involved, problem solving is involved. It's like almost like a poison is used in Bhagavatam for such management and administration. But the poison is taken by Lord Shiva in his throat, you can see, because he's Parama Vaishnava. He can take it. Similarly, anyone who is practicing spiritual life like a proper Vaishnava, they only can do the administration. Prabhupada was administrating the whole world, ISKCON temples, tolerating all the problems while his travels. And that is only possible when one is very, very Krishna conscious. So Priyavrat remained in such Krishna consciousness. At the end of his life, he went back to Godhead because he fulfilled the order of Brahma, his superior. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. Yes. Those of you who want to proceed for Prasad can proceed. I'll take one question. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Prabhuji is saying, many people in ISKCON, they renounced the outside world and they came into ISKCON society. And now they are getting an opulence more than what they would have had in their material life also. So how they can remain detached in this, in the midst of such opulences like this? Yeah. Actually, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, both of them repeatedly talk about the nature of material world and how it is entangling. You know the story of the monkey tar tin from the top of a tree, you know. The tar was shining. He thought it is some substance, very attractive substance. So he jumped into the tar tin to see what it is. Staying at the brink of the tin, he just put his hand there, but hand got stuck. Then he put his another hand, that hand also got stuck. Then the leg got stuck, then belly got stuck. So he just couldn't come out of it. In this way, one gradually gets drawn into the worldly consciousness as one spends more and more time with the waves of administration that come. We can call them waves of administration because they seem to get over, but they'll never get over. It'll keep on coming one after another. So here is where comes three things Prabhupada says, without being disciplined, without being obedient, without being self-controlled, no one is able to please the spiritual master. And without pleasing the spiritual master, no one can go back to Godhead. So when we talk about discipline, what all come in discipline? Regulated lifestyle. Time, eating in time, sleeping in time, you know, and chanting in time, attending morning programs, everything. Similarly, regulated hearing, Krishna Katha. You know, whether sun rises in the east or not, whether sky comes to ground or earth goes to sky, I have to read this much every day. So, the regulated lifestyle, such discipline is required. That's the meaning of shishya. Similarly, obedient means respectful, submissive. All these things is obedience. Like accountability to your superior. These things come in obedience. Renunciation of independence. Submission to authorities. All these things come. So authorities also should have their authority also. Then self-controlled is the six vegams. Sometimes a person is very disciplined and very strict in his practices, but he has no control of his tongue, control of his anger. So one has to be self-controlled also. So all the three are important. So yeah, I consider these three as the secret of spiritual life, these three. Because in one of Prabhupada's purports, I got a great secret revealed. Imagine if a fan is running and you want to stop the fan. It's running in five. Is it possible for you to stop it? Of course, you put a big stool and climb up and try to hold the running fan. It may be difficult, right, no? It may be difficult. Maybe for somebody who is a Palawan, some you know very strong person, may be possible. That also, it will burn the coil, like that, isn't it? But there is one very easy way to stop the fan. Just put off the switch. Correct, no? Similarly, Prabhupada gives one great secret in one purport. He says, what is the difficulty in chanting attentively? For one who is pure in mind, attention is very easy, he says. Now the next question is what? Now who is the person who is pure in mind? Then he says, one who is pure in habits can easily become pure in mind, he says. And who is the person pure in habits, he says. One who is pure in the habits of eating, sleeping and mating, he says. That means one who regulated sleeping and regulated recreation. So whatever is allowed. So in this way, one who is regulated in these habits, it's like, you know, A equal to B, B equal to C means A equal to C. So if one has a regulated habit, he can control the mind and make it pure. And then with a pure mind, it is easy to lead a regulated, balanced lifestyle. So out of the two, which is easy? To have a pure mind is easy, or to regulate this eating, sleeping, mating is easy? So regulating eating, sleeping, mating is like a switch in your hand, which is something within our reach. But controlling the mind is not in our reach. So I would never struggle to control the mind. Rather, I would focus on my discipline. Discipline, obedience and self-control. These three I would focus. This is one reason for my people, whom I guide also. I always stress on these things only. Because these things are within our reach. Vachavegam, Manasavegam, Kuradavegam, can practice them. Similarly, not overeating, not undereating. Undereating, nobody needs to be told. Only overeating we have to tell. Similarly, not oversleeping. So, this we have to observe our habits and by... Similarly, reading also for leaders and managers, the reading is a very tough thing. So, Prabhupada himself, when he wanted to write, he said, this management of ISKCON is taking away all my time. Prabhupada said, you leaders are coming up with so many problems, I am not able to continue writing my purports. So Prabhupada decided that I will wake up early in the morning so that everybody else will be sleeping that time. Nobody can disturb me. Huh? Even you try it in the morning, nobody will disturb you in the morning. It's the best time. So for leaders, the best time is early morning to read 1 hour, 1.5 hours. It's very golden hours of the day. Even my personal experience is, whatever I read early morning goes deep into my heart. And it remains as a permanent asset for life. The only problem is, how will we sleep early in the night? If we can sleep early, we can get up early in the morning. So I have no qualification, because I am also a struggling sadhaka, trying to sleep early and rise early. Some days I rise early, some days I can't. But I feel that's a great secret. If we can regulate our habits, then the management administration will become very smooth. It will be rendered easy, because our mind and senses will be in control. And with controlled mind and senses, managing the movement is more easy. That was told by Angira Muni to Chitraketu Raja. Angira Muni told Chitraketu, if you feel your subordinates are not obedient to you, better you control your own mind and senses, he told. Huh? Because if you control your mind and senses, they will automatically become subordinate to you. Huh? Now, I will not take much time. It's beyond 9. Please, all of you take prasad. Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.